Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, well, they took the skin off and then they put the grape back on the bundle backwards.
Yeah.
Function as a new bunch.
Yeah. I'm your host, Ethan Palmer, with some more Witcher lore.
As someone who's watching the audio levels, it looks like you're trying to draw a picture because you're just making like bigger and smaller like worms. Yeah.
It's
an ocean. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you want to see what a cock looks like in waveform?
I'm
Peter.
Whoa.
I guess it's loud early. It's gonna be loud early and then like low and even, right?
Not so, bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, it
doesn't
matter when you start, right? Because it's like it's because the dick can point in two different directions, right?
Yeah,
true.
Your bass kind of like was small and it got big, but you got the cut down right before the head.
So I circumcised the waveform.
Oh, nice.
it's a
Jewish waveform. we're a little off topic here already, I'd say. Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourself to the Cock Bros?
Pete O'Donoghue. How you doing? Hello.
I'm James Miller.
You're cheating. You can see it.
Yeah, no, I'm trying. It's not easy. I mean, yours looked better than mine.
Your cock looked better than his.
I tried to make my name like a cock in audio format. It's like whenever you have like those sculptures and the shadow looks like a wolf or something, but then sculpture and it just says James Miller. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Before we get started, shout out to Nathan Craig, newest patron on patreon.com/theloreboys. If you want your shout out, head on over there and give us money.
Welcome, Nathan. That's my Scottish background name, too. I'm a Craig. I'm from the Craig
He's
lineage.
Craig.
Yeah.
He's Craig. Do you think you'd pronounce it like Croc?
Craig. Oh, it's something, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. We're talking about a series with a Croc.
Yeah,
Crack on Crate.
Crack on Crate, exactly.
We are talking about the Witcher series. This was spoiled for Jamie and Pete in our pre-show, post-show show, which we record before the show and release after the show. So our patrons get to listen to it on Thursdays.
Yeah, because now that you get the bonus content, which we just kind of fuck around, which kind of like raises our energy a bit, so you get a more... a more high energy, a little bit more rock and roll episode because we fuck around first.
Exactly.
And sell that to people.
So the Witcher series, created by Andrzej Sapkowski, Polish author, whether we're talking about the books, TV show, novels, visual graphic novels, what have you, they typically follow Geralt of Rivia as he travels about a world called the Continent, flaying monsters. We have released one episode on it. We've recorded two episodes. One remains in the vault forever.
If you want to know why, become a patron. And
yeah,
it's in the
Jamie made me cry, basically. I couldn't take it.
I think we both cried. It was everybody cried.
We've got it. We've got the audio file, like a USB, and it's like buried in a mountain covered in concrete like atomic waste, basically. It's out in the desert
with all the Atari ET games or whatever. They're out in the desert.
It's in a warehouse full of nondescript wooden boxes in one of those wooden boxes. For you to find.
Yes.
Covenant.
So I guess all to say, if you're interested in learning more about the world of the Witcher, more, I guess, character stuff and setting things, our previous episode, it's probably a good bet. This is kind of a I have subtitled it the bestiary episode, where we're just going to talk about some of the creatures that Geralt sees in the show, in the books, in the video games, and how they correspond to real world mythology, real world lore, and things kind of that nature.
How many of these monsters hang out with Santa Claus and beat children is my question.
Exactly.
Most of European folklore.
So we'll get into it a bit later. You guys saw a picture of the Chort already as a spoiler. Is associated with Krampus in some ways. So
okay.
Like a lot of mythology, it does like really kind of weave in and out of like a million different stories. And like, if you're a fan of Greek mythology, you know that, you know, characters appear in all these different stories as kind of from different viewpoints because they're written by different authors and told through generations. So kind of wildly.
Krampus, I think our 2017 Christmas City or 2018 Christmas episode had Krampus. If you Google
one of the Christmas episodes,
Krampus, it'll come up. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's probably the first one. Yeah.
So the monsters of Sapkowski's continent, very wildly in the canon, like within the canons of The Witcher, because games are non-canon to the books. The show is non-canon to the books either, though they share a lot more similarities because they're kind of the same story. They have diverged, right. And they have Sapkowski's blessing, where he's now said that Henry Cavill is the canonical Geralt of Rivia, or whatever.
But he doesn't like the games, right?
He doesn't like
didn't
the games.
At first, yeah.
Yeah, well, he lost a bunch of money because he wanted a flat fee, and then The Witcher 3 sold really well, so he's a little salty for a while, is what I've heard. I don't know how true that is. So some of the creatures in the books might not even necessarily match the same creature in the games or what have you. Some of them are quite true to form to their real world mythological counterparts, and some of them are pretty wildly different from some of their real world mythological counterparts. So to start, I guess you guys have both played the game. Did you both beat the game?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. When I say the game, I'm usually talking about The Witcher 3.
Oh, okay. Yes.
It's the popular one.
Played to completion like two times Witcher 3. And then I've like, even more recently, I think I played a good chunk of Witcher 2. And I don't think I've ever played the first one.
Yeah. Okay. I played Witcher 2 to completion twice. No. And then because that game has four chapters, the second one is mutually exclusive. So you only get three of the possible four, which I didn't know at first. And then I got completely blocked. I think I've told the story on air. I got completely blocked in The Witcher 2 when you have to like turn a wheel to open a gate during a siege, where the model had loaded in sideways, jammed inside a wall. So I could not interact with it and rotate it.
I couldn't interact with the tutorial. I had to restart my game. At least it's at the beginning or whatever. But
yeah,
I lost like an hour of just like trying to figure out this button to press, and then
I was like 25 hours in, and I got hard locked out of the rest of the game, and I was like, cool, never playing this again. But The Witcher 2 is fantastic, and then I think I've played about like 10-11 hours of The Witcher 1. That game's old and feels older, my god. that's rough around the edges.
Even Witcher 2, like, it, well, obviously with both our experience wasn't super polished, but
it was
playable.
I played through the tutorial too, and then said like, "Oh, I don't like this. I'm not having fun playing this game. Like, none of the controls felt good to me. I was like, I'm not gonna play this."
Yeah.
But very much enjoyed The Witcher 3. Beat it again recently, which kind of inspired me to come back and play this. Have you guys both seen the show, both seasons?
Yeah,
I've seen like two episodes at Peter's place when we were all together back when we used to record together, and that's it.
Okay. No. So, Jamie, you're at a disadvantage for the first bonus question, which is the first monster you see in the show. It is the first picture that I have provided you guys, which didn't tip you off as to what we were going to be talking about. So I guess, Peter, do you remember the very first monster you see in the Witcher TV show?
It is that thing. It is like, it's like a man's face on like a fleshy body covered in like, and he's got a bunch of like fleshy spider legs. I don't remember the name of it, but it is a monster that's also in the game. Like, I remember the name is the same, but it's visually incredibly different. I don't recall though.
Yeah, it's a very Elden Ring-esque monster, some would say, with just too many arms. basically.
Yeah. Is it a terrifier or something like that?
No, it's not. It's called a Kikimora.
Right. Yeah.
So in The Witcher, I believe it's also in the first Witcher game, you fight a Kikimora queen. It's an insectoid monster originally depicted in Sapkowski's short story, The Last Wish. Here's a quote from that story. He didn't react to the muffled cry of the woman selling vegetables who was staring at the bony taloned paw sticking out beneath the horse blanket, bobbing up and down in time with the donkey's trot. Kaldemin shifted from foot to foot, looking at the spidery shape with its dry black skin, that glassy eye with its vertical pupil, the needle-like fangs in the bloody jaws.
Gross.
From the Monster Book, which was an appendix that released with The Witcher 1, which basically just like kind of described the monsters that you could find in the game. We know that the inspiration was drawn from insects, specifically from termites. So again, a quote this time from the Monster Book. The Kikimoras are organized not unlike a termite colony. The queen lays eggs from which soldiers and workers then hatch. Soldiers defend the colony from enemies while workers build structures and supply food. The division of roles had to be reflected in the game's AI mechanisms. Workers turn aggressive only when attacked or when aggression is artificially induced in them, while soldiers fight any enemy they spot.
So, like Woody Allen's ants, right?
Yeah, exactly. Fighting the termites. Yeah.
I googled this just to see if I had fought it yet in the first Witcher, which I hadn't. There is the image on Wikipedia is vastly more terrifying, and I kind of wish this was in the game instead of the bug monsters, because that's Jesus Christ.
So are you?
You describe it. Audio medium. I want to know. Yeah.
No. I was going to leave it because if Ethan's going to talk about the animal in the real world folklore, I didn't want to spoil it just in case he's got a description written down, because I didn't expect to find the Wikipedia image so quickly.
So I guess reveal the second spoilered image on Discord now and let me know if that's the same image.
It is. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. So these ones are like wildly different. They basically share no similarities other than name that I could really find. Don't know why they decide to call, or why Sapkowski decided to call these Kikimoras when in Slavic myth they're so, so different.
Like most Slavic women, it has crow's feet for some reason. Like, I don't understand why.
Because
like every Eastern European monster is a lady with bird feet. There's something in the water.
Hey, the most popular European monster has a house with bird feet. She doesn't have bird feet.
The Baba Yaga, that's true.
Yeah. No, but Kikimora are considered the protector of hens in a house. They're hen mothers in some senses. So in Slavic myth, like I said, they're wildly different. It's a female house spirit. Little fun fact, the Mora in Kikimora suffix comes from the Proto-Slavic and means nightly spirit or bad dream. It's actually the mare in nightmare comes from in Germanic.
Oh.
So it's kind of like this Kiki, which is just a way to describe it, and then night spirit, essentially, being a Mora.
Cool.
That's interesting.
It's very fucking creepy. The gigantic lobster man and the termite things from the games and the show, respectively, or the show and the game, respectively, doesn't really do it justice. It's much more kind of foreboding. Foreboding as, like, this, like, so, nightmare lady who sneaks into your house, I guess.
Do you have crow's feet, for those who can't see, and then, like, a dress that kind of like goes all the way up to the waist past the crow's feet, and then they've got like hands that look pretty humanoid, but the face kind of looks like a plague doctor mask, but it's like a beast's face instead. It's like really long and pointy with like wolf ears kind of thing, and she's wearing like a little Red Riding Hood thing over top.
Yeah, she's got a kerchief tied around her head like a babushka would.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
Two horns up there too, I think.
Like two coiled unicorn horns poking straight out of it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know if those are horns or just like feathers. Could be horns though. Yeah. There's a lot of different depictions, of the Kikimora. Some of them are just like these dark spirits, which just reside in the house. But safe to say nothing insectoid about them. And pretty much like any of the iterations that I could find, no mention of them being like, queens, which like lay eggs or anything like that.
Yeah, they guard the chicken queen within the coop, and all the rooster drones have. Then she just lays eggs.
Yeah, exactly.
Lays crows so, eggs.
Yeah. So yeah, more like an elderly woman with a kind of like chicken twist, right? essentially.
it's a, no, I don't know, man. That's what restaurant can you order that at?
Yeah, I was going to say
the chicken twist.
It sounds like a U.S. food commercial. It's just like, it's an old lady that you're familiar with, but with a chicken twist. Yeah. Just like you got like the cardboard sleeve with two fried chicken, like chicken. Yeah, yeah.
Oops! All elderly women.
Yeah. I'll say, if there's any bartenders listening, that might be like a good drink. Like, can I have a grandma with a chicken twist?
No, oh yeah.
Thanks. Yeah.
What would be in that? It'd probably be like a regular, because like obviously like modern millennial cocktails are always just like something that your grandfather drank, but with something stupid in it. So it would absolutely be with, it'd be like an old fashioned, right?
But with my grandma with drinks
powdered
gin.
Chicken stock. Okay,
yeah, exactly.
I was picturing chicken broth with vodka served on a doily.
Yeah.
Again, any bartenders listening, that one's free. That was free, you know? Take that to your boss.
I'm glad we all had chicken stock, though, as the stupid thing to include. Yeah, like, you know, it's like the stirred
with a chicken's foot, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, a little stir straw has a chicken's foot.
Or it's got like a decorative KFC drumstick on, like poking out of the side of the martini glass.
We're talking about how like termites and birds and like kind of like the egg, they both lay eggs. What if birds work together like ants or termites, and you had like worker birds just like flying through the air like in a queen bird, and they all like, if you tried to go after the queen bird, there would be like 1,000 birds fighting you off, like army birds or whatever.
You have to get an exterminator. It's just like, oh man, I got a wicked aggressive bird's nest on my old porch.
No, these are Africanized birds, you see.
It just looks like Gatling Gull from
Gungeon.
Yeah. Huge bicep.
So Kikimara were the first traditional explanation for sleep paralysis in Russian folklore as well. Basically, if you're experiencing sleep paralysis, which some people might know what it is, some people might not, it's basically like you're caught between awake and asleep. I know, Jamie, you get
it
sometimes,
a lot.
Right?
Yeah, I get. Well, not so much anymore, but it's basically like, when you dream, you know, like sometimes you kick yourself awake or you move an arm or whatever, there's chemicals in your body that just keep your body completely still while you're sleeping. So you don't do that.
It's chicken stock.
Right. Yeah. So when your body wakes, when your mind wakes up, but those chemicals haven't left your body yet, you're basically completely frozen. And sometimes you're aware, but more often you're in kind of a dream state where you can't move your entire body. For me, I can start to move the tips of my fingers slowly onto my hands, then my arms, and then I can roll over and get up. And I've had awful things like someone walking into my apartment, I'm sleeping on the couch, and I hear the footsteps coming towards me, clunk, and then they throw their keys in the air, and ching, they catch it, another footstep, clunk, and I'm just frozen and I can't move, and this person's kind
of... That's fucking terrifying. I'm glad that's never happened.
Yeah, it's...
I've had it once in my life, okay? And I swear to God, this is not a joke. I'm not making fun of you, Jamie. Yeah. Had it once in my life, asleep in an apartment in Montreal, and there was a Confederate general standing at the foot of my bed. Okay? I could not tell you why.
What?
I could not tell you why.
I see a Kikimura. You see a Confederate general. We are not the same.
Yeah. or it's like it's like Stonewall Jackson, but he's got bird's feet and he's still missing an arm.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I struggled to remember a single Confederate general's name from a foreign country's history. I was like,
Who did you say?
Did he Stonewall Jackson? He was Confederate, right?
I don't know. Yeah. Oh. I know Ulysses E. Lee. That's like the big one, right?
No, Robert E. Lee.
Robert E. Lee. Ulysses S. Grant
was the president.
He was the Northern Union general.
Yankee
the Union
president.
General. Yeah.
Only exactly. general Dan I know Yanks. In the States is Dollar General. I do not know.
Nice.
Which side of the Civil War was the Dollar General on?
The side of savings, of course.
Yeah. Charging high prices with a plastic sword. Broomstick horse.
So, Jamie, basically, when you were paralyzed on the couch, it means your house was not in order for Slavic folklore. When the house is in order, Kikimura looks after the chickens and the housework, which is like, okay... So if the house is not in order, she whistles, breaks dishes, and makes noises at night, which is such like a, the house is clean, so she'll like do housework and help keep it clean. But if the house is dirty, she just makes it dirtier. It's like,
yeah.
This was made up definitely by a man, And it's like Santa Claus for housewives, where it's just like, if you're a good little housewife and do all the cooking and cleaning, then the Kikimora will help us take care of the chickens. But if you're naughty, she's going to break dishes and cause a mess, basically.
She also comes out at night to spin thread, apparently. So she works the loom at night as well.
Cool.
There are two types of Kikimora. Those who come from the forest, they're married to a spirit known as a domovoi, who we're not going to talk about too much. And there's those who come from the swamp. You can tell them by their wet footprints as they enter the house. And they are married to the leshy, who we will talk about in a little bit.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
The only other point I had was, if you're a builder in medieval or earlier Slavic countries, and you want to screw over the people who are buying the house from you, it was often said that they would invite Kikimora in, because once they're in, they were super hard to get rid of, basically.
Do you wish that it was still like that, where, like, instead of your boss holding the threat of, like, financial ruin and homelessness over your head, he would threaten you with, like, woodland swamp spirits?
Yeah, I'm still thinking of the husband that's trying to convince his wife to clean, and he has, like, a sponge in the shape of a crow's foot on the end of a stick, and he, like, he wets the floors with, came in again last night. You better do another round.
Yeah, it's just like it's just Slavic men gaslighting their wives into thinking that there's a bird spirit. Although, I mean, a lot of folklore and Santa Claus too is really kind of like benevolent gaslighting, is it not? Right?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, straight up.
Yeah.
History was built on gaslighting, which is why it hasn't really changed for those poor women. Next, I guess we can talk about one of her swamp husband, not her forest husband, the Leshy, also known as a Leshin in the games. So you guys can reveal the next spoiler tag image.
I'll have a cappuccino.
My favorite enemy design. Sorry?
I'll have a cappuccino con Leshy. Antlers on the side.
The Leshen design in Witcher 3 is one of my favorite monster designs, I think, ever. And the show and the anime and everything always just fucks it up. They try to redesign it for some reason, but it's like you can't fuck with perfection, dude.
It's a humanoid.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go
humanoid
ahead,
figure, and he's kind of like wrapped in garbs, but it looks like his arms and stuff are like made out of like trees. He's kind of like, he looked like druidic. He's got like a skull for a face, but like antlers above it.
Yeah.
A little skull's hanging from his shoulder. It sticks.
Yeah, and stuff. I'll agree. Yeah, like fetishes or totems hanging, sprouting off of his shoulder, basically.
Yeah.
I fully agree, Pete. I think one of the Leshen stories where you like go to the town and they're trying to appease the forest spirit, basically, and you have like the two paths that you can take, where you can help the young people who are like, let's just kill it so we can like prosper, and the old people who are like, no, we have to pay it respect, is one of the best quests in The Witcher 3. And like, just so cool to like meet this creature, and like you're basically like hunting it in the end in the forest, and incredibly just like a powerful enemy. Not in like a gameplay mechanic wise or whatever, but just like present wise, you really feel like it.
The Monster Hunter World did a crossover with The Witcher, and you have to fight both a Leshen and an ancient Leshen. So the difference being the ancient one is taller, and it has like a moose skull on its head.
Oh yeah, that's
bigger
cool.
Antlers instead of deer antlers. But yeah, like the kind of like scary shaman made of wood in The Witcher 3 is the best design, because in the show it's like a woman that can't move. She's like a tree with tentacles. And then in the whatever Dawn of the Wolf or whatever the fucking anime is called, which is good, I just can't remember the title of it, it's like just like a guy in a shawl. It's just like a hood, basically.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a forest spirit at all, but like in the game they can like erupt into clouds of crows and shit, which they're so much cooler in the game than any other adaptation. It's just like, guys, just steal this fucking idea. It's the same franchise.
Yeah,
what is wrong with
you? just use that. It works. powerful and ancient. The Leshens in The Witcher 3 are forest spirits with a deer skull head and limbs like the branches of a tree. They can summon packs of wolves or, as Peter said, murders of crows to aid them in a pinch.
Very cool.
Here's a quote from the official website's CD Projekt Red's website describing them. Humans have long been fascinated by the wildwood. Living in its vicinity was the source of tales about creatures ferocious and benign, friendly and hostile. As they started to settle deeper and deeper into the woods, respect for the unknown diminished. Lumber was gathered, stone abodes were built. As the pestilence that was humanity grew bigger, so did the forest's and its inhabitants' wrath. At the heart of the forest lies a secret. In a place born of darkness and primeval nature resides a mighty and terrifying guardian. Immune to human steel, it is believed the Leshen is nature's way of protecting the forest and the animals that live within it from the threat humans started to pose upon their ravaging expansion deeper into the lands. Along with the animals it commands, the Leshen became a force to be reckoned with. Sometimes worshipped, this creature can heal other woodland animals and summon neckers or crows to protect the forest. Its attacks are slow but deadly. Be cautious not to get shackled by its underground roots.
That's cool. The ancient Leshen quest in Monster Hunter World is insanely fucking hard. It is so strong, and you fight it. you fight it in the ancient forest like biome in Monster Hunter as well. There's like a whole quest around it where Geralt ends up in Monster Hunter through like a shitty portal.
Basically. Well, like the conjunction of the spheres or something.
It makes sense.
In the Witcher 3, like Avalok takes you to like a bunch of different worlds, right? And Ciri hints that she went to the cyberpunk world and everything. So
I can see it. Yeah, like when you fight the ancient Leshen in the ancient forest in Monster Hunter, I think they may have been like, no. Like, it's hard in Witcher 3, but like, that shit's for pussies. Like, this is like, it's like mandatory 4-player co-op to take that fucking thing down. It's insane. Right. Oh yeah,
dude, you can't even solo it, brother. Dude, come on.
I did not solo the ancient Leshen. Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, I'm gonna get on the forums and tell everyone that they're shit at games because they don't play exactly like me.
Yeah, dude, playing
Elden Ring this week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Toxicity.
Yeah, he's been playing Elden Ring and griefing people who play co-op. So don't worry.
I will fully admit, the first time I beat Ornstein and Smough, I just summoned somebody who was just like, yeah, I'll beat these guys for you, no problem. Obviously, he didn't say a word because it was a Souls game, and I just summoned them, and he came, beat Ornstein and Smough. I was like, cool, don't have to deal with that, and then I beat the rest of the game.
I didn't have Xbox Live, so I had to beat it, and I beat it right before my roommate and I were going to... a bar, and I was like so high on adrenaline that after I beat them, I almost threw up.
That sounds about right.
Speaking of like messing with other players in Lost Ark, there's a huge bot problem right now, and the bot path, the current pathing to get to endgame, they have to go through a PvP area, and people found out that if you just hang out in this one spot and you literally, there's waves of them coming, like there's so many bots, and you just you can keep grinding them up and confusing them, because if they die in this one spot, they don't know how to continue their path. So, like, basically, real players are just stunting the growth of these bots that are ruining the game by like fighting them in PvP and farming them like literal NPCs. Yeah,
like that a is bot pilgrimage.
Yeah. Shout out to Neckers, who I mentioned. The Leshen can also summon in the games. They are like these like little ogre creatures that like are very like rock type, I guess. And if we're gonna use Pokemon terms.
Yeah, like little goblins sort of thing, right?
Yeah, from like, I didn't include their mythology or whatever, but I will say like, there's another one that just shares absolutely no similarities. They're straight up like water spirits in myth, basically.
The drowners, basically?
No, yeah, not drowners in the sense that they're not like tied to creatures that like prey on people or anything like that. Just like, they're okay. So vastly different from Sapkowski's iteration of Neckers and the Witcher version of Neckers. That's like, I don't know why they decided to call them that, but maybe it was just a convenient name, line for grabs. So
yeah, the Leshen, trademark on the folklore had expired. So they
exactly
grab that.
The Leshy, I should say, in Slavic myth, is also a protective god of the forest, similar to the one in the games and the movies or the show. They rule over the forest and hunting. They are ruled by one known as the Lord of the Leshies, known as Sviatibor. I'm gonna mess up some names in this episode, I will say. Sviatibor is the best I can do for Lord of the Leshies. Masculine and humanoid, the Leshy is able to assume any likeness, can alter their size and height. You guys can reveal the next spoiler tagged picture in Discord here. You'll see it's a little different from the game version.
Nice. So it's that thing that what's the devours his son thing?
Saturn.
It's Saturn devours his son, but he's got nuts for ears for some reason.
I thought he had, it looks like an old white man with dreadlocks that are like, instead of the like Rasta colored beads, they're decorated with long white coats.
Yeah. He looks like his eyes are so wide. He looks like, so he's got crazy eyes and he's just wandering through the forest.
He's fucking huge too. He's like taller than the pine trees.
But tastefully, there's a pine tree in front of what could only be a giant hog.
A giant leshy hog. Yeah.
Yeah. The leshy could change its size and shape of its hog at will. That's the protective guardian spirit.
We can ask the slavs about it. Don't ask me. I will say the reason. So he looks super surprised in the picture, right?
It's a very 1960s picture of Bigfoot medieval painting.
Straight up.
It's great.
The reason he looks so surprised is apparently he always appears with no eyelashes, no eyebrows, and missing his right ear. It's like a very common way that he appears. So I like to think he looks surprised because he has no eyebrows. So you can't, like, it looks like his eyebrows are really high, but it's actually, he just doesn't have it, basically.
No eyelids either?
No eyelashes.
Eyelashes, okay.
Oh, eyelids, man, he's got so many bugs in his eyes.
Exactly. Walking through the woods all day? Come on.
Yeah.
But he just changes the shape of his eyes to, like, spit the bugs out or whatever. Yeah.
The Leshy in the myth is said to have a generally neutral attitude towards humans, though does sometimes play tricks on people, and as with a lot of fey creatures, doesn't always understand that it's just a prank isn't a valid legal defense. So like there are some instances of like, oh, I tricked him, made him get lost in the forest, and he starved to death and died in the forest, you know, like, and it's like, haha, just a prank, bro. But doesn't understand the mortality of it, I guess. Sometimes when walking in the woods, it's said you might hear a strange whistling and be inclined to check it out, but it's just the Leshy leading you astray. He's also said to take in children cursed by their families to live with him, and then he also has biological children with the Kikimora, and with he has another wife whose name I forgot to write down.
Okay, so now instead of Saturn devours his son, he can devour your son.
Exactly.
With a chicken twist. Yeah.
Exactly. And he also like lives on like a sister wives like commune too. He's got two wives. Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot like, again, it's myth, right? It's mythology. So it's a lot like Greek myth too, where it's like, oh yeah, some stories say he has like Kikimora for a wife. Some stories say he has, you know, this person for a wife. And like, it just changes based on like, I mean, the Slavic region too. And like the Slavic people are very spread out as well. So like certain villages will have some stories which say like, oh yeah, he's definitely married to the Kikimora, and others will have other stories where he's married to somebody else.
I feel like his nipples should be where the peak of that pine tree is, but since the pine tree was there, they had to put it like a little bit to the right.
Yeah, he's got like wide nipples, basically, right?
wide set nips, my man.
Yeah, I mean, he's an old man though, you know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. Oh yes, the Leshen is commonly shown as having no eyebrows, no eyelashes, and no nipples. top half Ken doll, bottom half gigantic Leshen hog. It's the opposite. It's the opposite of a Barbie doll.
Yeah. Sometimes when you're camping in the woods, you'll let the giant hog fall onto your tent, crushing you to death. Just a prank, bro.
Yeah.
His biological children, sometimes called Uboze or Bozetas, are in the games actually godlings. Godlings seem to be based on these creatures. Again, I didn't include the actual myth on Uboze or Bozetas because it's pretty thin, but the godlings seem to be based on the children of the Leshy, essentially.
So godlings, which are what they're those blue little children that basically have something left behind to do before they can move on, or am I mixing
them? No. That's the like the Bloody Baron's kid who I don't remember.
Botchling.
That's it. Yeah. Botchling. Yeah. No, the godling is like Joey or Jimmy or some shit. That kid who's like kid he leads you to the witches. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They are blue skinned, and they're just like house spirits is what they're called, or forest spirits, depending on if they live with mom, the Kikimora in the house, or if they live with dad.
There's one Leshy in the forest too in Witcher 3, for sure there is.
Yeah, yeah, she's like haunting a house, and you're paid to in Witcher 3. Yeah, you're paid to exorcise her basically, and you can choose to or choose not to.
Yeah, Geralt's a cool guy. He doesn't kill her. I mean, I did.
Is that the one where you put the baby in the oven or don't put the baby in the oven?
No, that's not. That's the Ancrate storyline where you're helping Sarah Sancrate,
right?
Which is a Heim. It's somebody afflicted by a Heim, which I almost included in this episode, but I didn't. So thanks for blowing up my spot, James. Huh?
Yeah, sorry. That's just a hilarious video game dialogue option. Put the baby in the oven.
As far as leading children astray or taking children that are kind of rejected from their homes, that actually shares something in common with our next guest, the Chort. Before we get to the Chort, however, how about we go to a quick ad break?
Next guest, are you going to do an impression?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. We were talking about the Chort. We have a guest with us here, as I said, got Jamie very excited. Unfortunately, I brought the Witcher Chort, who doesn't really speak. The mythological Chort, as we'll learn, is capable of speech, but I booked the wrong one, basically.
I gotta say, though, thank you for coming, Mr. Chort. You look great. I know you can't Wow, man, it's so great to have you.
So from the bestiary, Chorts are smaller than fiends, true, but still big enough to kill. That's Agnes Thistle, herbalist from the Black Forest, and it continues. Chorts are the somewhat smaller kin of fiends and boombakvetches. I looked up boombakvetches, near as I could tell. CD Projekt Red decided to include it in the bestiary only as a cousin to Chorts. That's they made up that name just to be this guy's
what
cousin.
What are they, big bad betches?
Yeah, big bad betches.
What's the actual name?
Tag on Pornhub, definitely.
Yeah.
Bum back vetches with a V, like a victory.
V-E-T-C-H or something like that?
So it's BUMBAKVETCHES.
For the
plural.
Full of big bum back fetches.
Bum back fetches. The entry continues. Yet any witcher who thinks their diminutive stature means they present no danger commits a grave error, the kind that can end his career permanently. These denizens of dark and ancient woods are some of the most dangerous monsters known to man. Legends often mistake Chorts for Sylvans, ascribing them the ability to speak, stand on two legs, gobble up cabbage, play pranks, and work mischief around the household.
Gobble up cabbage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sylvans are the Witcher satyrs. It's like men with goat legs and kind of playful pranksters, essentially. So
yeah.
Ones who would actually probably, you know, steal your cabbage.
You can actually meet one of those in The Witcher 3. He's like obese, isn't he? He's like that fat kind of like satyr prince with the hooves. He's got like the...
I'm trying to remember. I don't actually remember.
Else?
You guys ever buy cabbage and eat it?
I have cabbage in my fridge right now.
I've cooked with it, and I made... I tried to make coleslaw once.
You never had coleslaw?
A good cabbage salad, because I did it by hand, I could not shred it properly, so it was a very kind of like thick... strand. It was like a thick cut fry opposed to like a shoestring fry.
It's like tough lettuce, yeah. You know.
Yeah. Stinky,
yeah.
Lettuce. The arrival. The bestiary.
Lettuce.
Bumper bean. Binky bettis. Bumblebee person. Bore bulls blah. I can't.
We were talking about borts. Okay. So.
Okay.
The bestiary continues. The arrival of a true Chort in a region soon puts an end to such tales. The creatures do not speak, at best communicating with each other through grunts, snorts, and moans. They get about four legs. They get about on four legs. And as for their mischiefs, they destroy farmsteads, devouring anything that can be devoured, including cabbage, if such is available, but also extending to poultry, pork, the family dog, and then the family itself.
I like how they say including cabbage, as though this is like a policeman. You know, like, you know when a crime just happens and you got like the cop on the beat who's like, like that's the guy that they're interviewing, and he has to be like super, super vague with his wording, like everything is alleged.
So, sir, what about the cabbage? You think it was a related incident, or do you think it's just a random act of violence during this crime spree?
The chort devoured the family dog, the poultry, and a few other things, including the cabbage, which is just like, is that like...
There's a cop like in the background just dragging chalk in circles in the dirt. Like, not...
Yeah. These are the cabbages. Like, where all our cabbage was. That's great.
So in the games, and you guys can reveal the next picture in the Discord, chorts are great beasts, taller than a man, with horns like a ram's and impressive strength.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite trophies to hang off the side of your horse. So like, I knew what a chort and a fiend were. Like, I was fond of those fights and like very fond of the way they look, so I didn't actually have to look that one up.
They look like if you let their horns grow too long, they might get them in the own brain. Actually, no, it's more of a, what's that, spiral noodle?
They go back.
Yeah.
A fusilli?
Fusilli?
No. Not the,
no. Is it like penne? No.
The ones not that penne. Are like macaroni, but they keep going around because
So I think this is fusilli? The brand.
Oh,
the
like
brand,
spring.
I yes. think this is the brand of noodle that I get, which is, I think, Primo. And yeah. It might be a Quebec thing, but they're called Scooby-Doos where I get them.
I've heard that before, actually.
I'm gonna try and pull up the clip here, because I buy Prima as well, and I know what Jamie's talking about, because they're like some of my favorite noodles to bake with.
Oh, I found it. Yeah.
They're best for like casserole or like baked mac and cheese. Oh, man. Yeah.
Guide to
okay,
every
so
type
I, of I googled Prima Scooby-Doo, and I got what looks like a banshee, I guess, from a Scooby-Doo cartoon of some description.
Cavatappi. Nice. Cavatappi, typically used in pasta salad. The shorter kind is called salentani. The longer version is strozza preti, which means strangle the priest.
Yeah, so I love these. I love these for like casseroles or any kind of baked pasta dish.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I shared the picture where they're called Scooby-Doos, and this might be a like a Canada thing. This might be a Quebec thing. I don't know, but they're called Scooby-Doos here.
I have all the stuff for pasta sauce sitting on my counter because I didn't have time to make it before the episode. So I put it all in a pan just so I could just turn it on whenever I'm ready.
Nice.
And I'm going to go pick up some Strangle the Priests, I think.
Sounds like a euphemism. Want to pick up a strangled the priest, you know what I mean?
Got some, got a nice fleshy hog waiting for me, you know?
So from the bestiary excerpt, we know that chorts are evil, destructive beings bent on devouring families, being pretty mindless in their destruction. Their mythological versions play more of the malevolent trickster, much more like a satyr, actually.
Yeah.
So chorts are anthropomorphic demons depicted in both Slavic paganism and folk Christianity. So, in some, you know, Christian circles, as you might say, chorts are like friends with the devil, friends with Lucifer, basically.
Yeah.
Usually they're depicted in kind of the exact same way. When you guys were, on the bonus episode describing the next picture, if you guys want to pull it up again. Where he's holding a man. It, listeners, if you want to find out which man he's holding, join the Patreon, I guess.
Yeah, okay, so no, I guess we will not reveal who this goat man with the bright red lips is swaddling like a baby.
Usually they are identical in appearance to the devil, hoofed feet, horns, a thin tail, probably a forked tongue, you know, if you asked.
Yeah, the Witcher game one is much more kind of like a gorilla with a ram's head and three eyes.
Yeah, and like webbed toes, and it's got like the like backwards knees on its back legs, like a horse might have or something.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Or a goat might have, I suppose, but yeah.
Any kind of, yeah.
If you have shin cancer, what they do is they chop off your foot and chop off your shin and then put your foot on backwards on your knee. So you still have a knee joint for a prosthetic leg.
What?
So, imagine you just got rid of your knee, or below your knee, from your shin to where your foot is. That's
shin
gone.
Cancer.
So that's gone. That's gone. That's gone, right?
Gone.
Now you take the foot, and it's facing like up.
Actual
you.
Foot or prosthetic?
Your foot.
My
and
foot.
They bring it from where it would be at the end of the shin up to where your knee is, but they turn it around. So your ankle now becomes your functional knee.
I don't understand that. Your ankle is still a functional hinge. Why do they have to flip it?
They flip it.
Because
your knee.
They get rid of the shin, right? Like, where are they going to put it? Can't put it at the bottom of a prosthetic. I think I get it.
It's so your leg goes the same way. Yeah, your foot sticks backwards off your knee, but that's where they would stick the prosthetic on, and then your ankle is now your new knee.
Huh.
The ankle joint becomes the knee joint, essentially.
Yeah. I get that. Okay.
It might not be shin cancer, but I did see that it's whenever you have to get rid of the shin. That's what they do, yeah.
I assume, like, amputating at the knee would this is always a solution, as long as the ankle is still working. Did you guys know they did surgery on a grape? Is that dated? That's probably dated.
Dude, that's an LOL moment.
Yeah, well, they took the skin off, and then they put the grape back on the bundle backwards. Function as a new bunch.
Yes.
So in Czech folk tales, chorts are often trying to get characters to sign over their souls in exchange for the usual money, power, foil, Charizards, whatever. usually these deals end badly for greedy people in the fables who realize that the trading card economy in hell sucks because everybody has a foil Charizard, so
okay.
It wasn't worth it. The heroes in these stories are usually the ones who are depicted as smarter than the chort, like able to outsmart, not like outmuscle or anything like that. They trick the trickster. Get him to do things like building castle walls in just a day. So like an army's coming and your walls are destroyed. You trick a chort into building them for you by gambling with them. Oh, thanks, Jamie.
Sorry. Classic like Rumpelstiltskin. What the fuck?
I'm just posting photos of people with their feet on backwards at their knees and how it would work with that.
It's above the knee. It looks like it's thigh, maybe femur cancer or something like that. So it's actually the lower half of the leg replaces the thigh, and then they have their ankle joint on backwards.
Seeing the prosthetic next to the person with the backwards foot, I understand how it works. It is a tricky thing to visualize, I'm not going to lie.
I'm sure it's tricky to learn to walk like that, honestly.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
As long as it works for them.
It's pretty amazing that we could do that, that we could just put the foot on backwards, and then the foot still lives and works.
Yeah. Incredible. Can't even put a pig heart in him. Come on.
Yeah, the guy died. I can't believe it. I can totally believe it.
It was an experimental thing on a guy who was already in very bad health that we just don't know enough about it to give it to someone who maybe would stand a chance.
Oh, yeah.
What if a healthy adult man would live opposed to a weak old man?
His son had a great statement where he came out and basically said, like, the hospital did amazing, the doctors did amazing, like, this was a last-ditch effort, and they did everything they could kind of thing. So.
Yeah.
It's a good story. Look up Pig Heart. If you guys want to learn more.
Crazy how routine it is. My dad had heart surgery in the last month, and he's come up like just they basically like dental work. They cleaned him out, put him back together, and he's back on the prowl.
Yeah, exactly. He's out in like 10 days.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You can get the chort to build you castle walls. You can get him to dig fish ponds or river banks, create hills, mountains. Like, he seems quite powerful in that sense. To be able to build castle walls in a day or build a mountain. But if you can outsmart him and like tweak his deal, if you can out-lawyer him, then you can kind of get these things free.
Yeah, you put loopholes in your wish, basically, right?
Exactly.
Cool.
In more modern stories, like the closer we get to modern day, the more and more he's actually depicted as a positive figure. He's one who works to trick evil characters specifically, so he seems to prey on the greedy, on the evil, on the immoral, to have an excuse to like take them to hell early and get them out of our face, which honestly... use a bit of these things.
Yeah, I was gonna say I know a guy who could use a meeting with a chort. His name is Elon Musk, and
do you see all the cringe shit he was doing today too? Like,
on Twitter.
He's like,
that's,
I changed
that's
my...
why it's in my head. That's why it's in my head is I think Elon's mentally ill personally at this point, because he just seems unstable.
He wants to 1v1 Putin.
Yep,
that's pretty cool.
Very helpful.
Yeah, and then like posting like his new profile pic is like, I want to help all these causes. Like, okay, thank you, billionaire, who could actually help all these causes but won't. Like,
yeah,
yeah. I've got. Won't. Have I got a goat man for you?
It's called actual heroes, pedophiles instead.
Yeah,
I would watch the 1v1 though.
Absolutely.
Oh, fuck it's yeah!
Outcome, no matter what, right? Like, the world's walking away a better place, no matter the outcome of that one.
But like, both of them have like a lot of resources too. Like, do they have a week to like prepare like their bases or whatever, or is it just like straight up fisticuffs? Elon Musk versus Putin.
You'd have to ask the madman.
Yeah. But I think Elon's a bigger guy, so he's probably got an advantage. He's got more reach. But I think Putin does like karate with Steven Seagal.
Putin's gonna like shit.
Aikido, yeah.
Even Putin makes fun of Steven Seagal. I saw like a supercut of Putin like going for handshakes and getting denied today. And
it was like, beautiful.
The caption is like the making of a villain or whatever.
Yeah. I was gonna say, that's what brought us here today.
That's what the movie Joker's about, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Chort's true form is a small hairy man with a tail, horns, and either one or two hoofs. Just like Peter.
I was going to say, if you had stopped halfway through, I'd just like, it's me.
I wrote it in, don't worry about it. Tails, horns, and either one or two hoofs, depending on the night with Peter.
Hell yeah.
You've heard of two left feet. How about one left hoof?
I can't dance, but I don't need tap shoes. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. You got the one tap shoe with in a hoof.
Yeah.
Horses. A horse literally translates to four tap shoes.
And a bottle of glue.
All right. Enough fairies and spirits and hairy old men, though. Let's talk about a real monster for once. Okay, what do you guys picture when I say real ass monster?
The 1v1 we were just talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Either Elon Musk or Putin.
Dial it back. Okay, not actual monsters, but fun mythological. Oh. Someone you'd meet in the monster.
Okay, I know exactly. When you say picture real monsters, I picture real monsters, and it's this little pink guy holding up both of his eyeballs above.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or the striped umbrella girl too. Like, she's like umbrella. No, what is this? It's a cartoon on Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Okay. From when we were quite young. Probably like all the Zoomers won't know what it is, but
I'd say, Ethan, maybe like a real monster, like a griffin, a dragon, something like that.
Okay. Jamie, you wanna throw one in?
A real monster would be I play Elden Ring, and dragons are pretty monstrous.
Okay. Yeah. Dragons again. Yes, there are dragons in the Witcher canon. We're not going to talk about them today, because in real world, England, the King of England, killed them all. So what can you do? You know?
That's true.
We're pretty thankful for that, honestly.
Yeah. No, we're going to talk about Ulfadin. Okay, Ulfadin. I can't believe you guys didn't guess that. Honestly.
Yeah, sorry.
So if you've beaten The Witcher 3, which you guys have both claimed you have, you've met an Ulfadin named Morkvarg. You guys remember Morkvarg?
I remember the name.
It must be in the boat area, right? In Skelved?
He is in Skellige, yeah.
Skellige, yeah.
The boat area.
Everyone will know what I'm talking about. If you're playing the game.
My first thought was the docks. I was like, what is he talking about? But yes, he is in Skellige. He is a werewolf.
Okay.
Who is in the Garden of Freya, basically. And you end up, you find out he was like this terrible raiding pirate who did all these terrible acts. And you end up, you can break his curse or you can just kill him. Either way, it is a main quest storyline. So from the bestiary, Ulfadin are a breed of werewolf found mainly in the boat place. The harsh and barren conditions of the isles might explain why they primarily hunt men and are stronger than their continental brethren. Older and particularly dangerous Ulfadin are called Vorifs. Only a few daring warriors in Skellige history have managed to defeat an Ulfadin, and each of them is commemorated in ballads as a hero to this day. So they're jacked up werewolves, basically, in the games, in the canon. Ulfadin in mythology share a root with some other monsters found on Skellige in The Witcher 3.
It's like Cyclopses or something like that?
No, the Berserkers unleashed upon the coronation ceremony at Ker Trold.
Yeah.
So,
all the statues that became beasts?
No, it was the guys who turned into bears.
Yeah, so in The Witcher 3 storyline, there's a point where you're trying to find the next king of Skellige. Or king or queen, spoilers.
Yeah, do you
pick it's or the Ceres is the only answer. I'm not taking questions.
The hot-tempered brother. I've
only ever done Ceres.
Hot-tempered brother or cool-ass sister. Which one are you going to choose?
Ceres or Hjalmar. But when you're at like the coronation ceremony, one of the candidates for king's mother unleashes these like berserkers who turn into bears, and they're basically werebears, and they like attack the setting and kill some of the other people who are going to be king, kind of thing.
Wow. Yeah.
But the Ulfadin in real world mythology are berserkers. So in Norse mythology, Ulfadin are a type of berserker, similar to the bears which attack the coronation. Berserkers are actually bear warriors. Like the translation means bear shirt. The etymology for the word berserker comes from bear shirt, essentially, because they would wear the pelts of bears when they went into battle.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. I think the hood with the head on it and the sleeves coming down the front, right? The paw sleeves coming down the front.
Right to bear arms.
Canon has lore about monsters that are similar. I think they're the bare naked ladies, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's been 1 week bear, to bit your neck. Yeah.
Bear, comma, naked ladies.
Yeah.
So the Ulfadin, by contrast, aren't bear warriors. They're kind of like wolf warriors, where they would wear the pelts of wolves when going into battle.
Okay, cool.
Berserkers were warriors who fought in a trance-like fury, often said to be brought on by substance abuse. So henbane, alcohol, or musimil? Mushrooms?
Helps
it's basically magic
helps
mushrooms.
Poop, yeah.
Yeah. Musimol.
Musselbin, yeah.
Metamusimol, yeah. Metamusimol mushrooms.
That's funny because I couldn't get through like what the season, either season 4 or 5 of Vikings on Netflix is debilitatingly boring. For the listeners, if you guys watch the show, it's when Rollo is in France. I just can't get fucking through it.
I've heard that show's quite good though.
I prefer The Last Kingdom, personally. Vikings is good up to a point that I just can't get past.
Okay. That's with so many shows for me, and I watched Vikings seasons 1, loved it, and I said, I'm not going to watch season 2 because eventually I'm going to stop liking the show, so I just want to leave it as like a good memory in my mind rather than a shitty show that went on too long.
Yeah, it's a good call. Like the main guy's brother is a guy named Rollo, great character. He ends up going to like France and becoming a Christian, and I just can't get through this fucking season.
That's a funny way to approach things. I got a divorce, you know, I love my wife, but I didn't want it to maybe go wrong later, so it's just a good
I'm just going
to
leave her now.
Absolutely.
But The Last Kingdom is a great show about a similar time period, like the 890s or whatever. Also on Netflix. The fuck was I going to say now?
The Berserkers and Magic.
Right, yeah. They have like an entire sequence in one of the earlier seasons, maybe in season 1 or season 2 of Vikings, where they take their Christian missionary to like the Viking, like the bush orgy, basically, and they're all drinking a bunch of mushroom tea and getting fucked up. And I thought that was an embellishment for television. But
I did not delve too deep into the history as we never do on this show. It's something that I've heard before that they would get high on mushrooms before they go into battle kind of thing.
Yeah.
The Wikipedia page had a line where it said this has been largely discredited due to the side effects of musimol mushrooms, which seems to be like euphoric states and like generally happy. I did look that up.
No, dude. If they microdose, like the folks in Silicon Valley microdose for coding, you could be better at what you're doing, but you just gotta do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, Wikipedia said, "Oh, largely discredited," but then it also said citation needed. So it was just like some guy took it upon himself to edit Wikipedia and basically say, like, "Well, no, I've done musimol mushrooms before. It wouldn't make me want to go into battle as a bear, and so I'm gonna write it on the Wikipedia page." So. It's up in the air. Obviously, we'll never know. It's that's kind of the fun thing with history where we can
like
speculate.
Like a spore.
Lore Boys canon.
Lore Boys canon. Berserkers did eat magic mushrooms. Magic mushrooms.
It's been debunked. Yeah. You can't say it. It's been debunked.
So, it is something that I've heard before, but who knows how true it is. The Ulfadin specifically were warriors who also would kind of do this, like get high on drugs and go into battle. Like I said, they just wore wolf shirts instead of bear shirts. The first Norwegian king, Harald Fairhair, which is a great name, got good hair, is said to have had an elite guard of Ulfhednar, which is the plural, from shape-changing in Old Norse sagas. We have this quote, "Odin's men went without their mail coats and were mad as hounds or wolves bit their shields. They slew men, but neither fire nor iron had effect upon them." This is called going berserk. So that's kind of the root of the word.
Cool. Okay, cool.
And finally, it wouldn't do to omit somebody who we've already included, the Crones of Crookback Bog, from our list. So,
Yes. Love that quest.
kind of main quest.
So. Yeah, that section, like the Bloody Baron, the entire arc is fucking phenomenal, which like is a very like everybody says that. It's not a new opinion. I'm not being like, oh, yeah, dude, man, I really like this very good part of a good game. Like,
exactly.
But yeah. The Crones, I like how they kind of weave into the story of Witcher 3. And I love the music in that part. It's very creepy. It's very unsettling.
I mean, everything about the Crones I absolutely adored. Yeah. And to your point, Pete, I think this is something that they did really well with The Witcher 3, and something that I think CD Projekt Red, with The Witcher 3 and with Cyberpunk, do really well, where the main quests feel like you stumble upon them. Like, it feels like an optional thing where you just end up there, and you don't realize that it's a main quest. Likewise, they do a really good job of making the quote-unquote like good ending choice the choice that feels right. So role-playing Geralt, kind of like you said before, like Ceres is always the Queen of Skellige. The four times that I've played through that quest, I like always tell myself, I'm going to go with Hjalmar. And I always end up going with Ceres because I'm like, just feels right. You know
what
I mean?
He's unstable. Like, why?
It's just going to be more war in Skellige when we're done here. You know what I mean? Yeah. And when you beat The Witcher 3, it does give you if you do Ymir's quests, then Nilfgaard actually like wins the war and like enables some like stability in the region. If you don't do his quest, then Radovid wins and like keeps like massacring elves and dwarves and like non-humans essentially. Right.
Yeah, so, can't have that.
So the good endings do feel just kind of like natural to do anyway, which is something that they do very well.
I made a meme. Why does every podcast have the just same laughing three at it. People? And it's a picture of the three crones from the
It's the Crones of Crookback Bog.
I'm the middle one, I guess. I'll be the bastard face. Yeah.
Their design is so good. Like you say you like the Leshen from The Witcher 3, and I love the Leshen as well, but like the crones have all like they are the penultimate picture of like hags in my head now, essentially.
Yeah.
Like the one of them with her eye is basically just like a swollen mass of flesh with all these like holes in it, which is what is the thing called when you like paint things?
Cryptophobia.
Cryptophobia or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's basically like that impersonated. And there's like wasps that like are nesting in her face, essentially in one of her eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she has like two legs, like two like child's legs sticking out of her abdomen as though like there was one growing there at some point.
So
and
I'm
then stopped.
Taking the hefty lady with the basket for a face and the big fleshy titties. Which ones do you guys want to be? There's two left.
I'm the wasp guy, I think.
That was going to say, the wasp one is visibly blonde, so that can go to Ethan. I'll take the hunchback one with the wreath of human ears around her neck and the bag full of carved up human body parts.
Honestly,
as well.
No joke, that's what I was going to give both of you.
Oh, yeah. Also, there we go. She's also the shortest one, so I'll take that too.
I mean, yeah, and I have the dunce hat, so that makes the most sense as well.
Yep, and I'm a big, powerful woman.
And you got to give it to you. Don't need no man.
Nope.
take that Iranian man from the park.
neither the premium or the sound.
That's just for you.
Have a drink, yeah.
On the quick subject of like what CD Projekt Red is very good at, because we do simp hard for them on this show, we've never made a secret of that. So the music in Cyberpunk is also cover to cover bangers, and I love how they still use like traditional acoustic instruments in a lot of their techno. Because like the Crookback Bog witch theme, and there's I think it's like the cyberspace theme from Cyberpunk both have like the hurdy-gurdy in it, which is like a it's just like the body of a violin with a crank in it, and I'm like, it's the same composer. It's like, so this dude was making a cyberpunk sci-fi game and he's composing music for this, and he was still just like, no, this is still a Polish game, guys, and I'm bringing in the strings for the that, like, that just comes after like the fucking after the beat drops. It's just got, you've got the hurdy-gurdy coming in, and I'm just like, hell yeah, dude, it's so fucking good.
I will say, every time there's like all the tensest parts in Cyberpunk, like the soundtrack absolutely calls back to The Witcher. So like it just does, like, I'm sure I like Cyberpunk more because it evokes what I liked about The Witcher, you know, where it's just like, okay, I have the same kind of emotional response to it.
Yeah.
So the Crones, also called the Ladies of the Wood.
So Pavlov's Gamer,
Yeah, exactly. Pavlov's Gamer. Every time a bell rings, you simp for CD Projekt Red.
Every time a hurdy-gurdy plays, you spend $79.99 on Steam.
I got it on sale, so I spent $72 because it was 10% off. Thank you very much.
I did the same thing, but I got it on GOG, so they didn't have to pay a cut to Valve.
That's Canadian dollars, if you guys are wondering why games are so expensive here. It's because our money's different.
So the Crones, also called the Ladies of the Wood, are three witches who live in a cabin in the swamps of Velen. Legend suggests that the three are sisters and the daughters of the original Lady of the Wood, also known as She Who Knows. Okay. So, from the bestiary, the isolated corners of our world harbor creatures older than humans, older than academies and mages, older even than elves and dwarves. The Crones of Crookback Bog are such creatures. No one knows their true names, nor what breed of monstrosity they in fact are. Common folk have given these three sisters the names Weaves, Brewess, and Wispess, and call the threesome the Ladies of the Wood, or simply the Good Ladies. The Crones act as the true sovereigns of Velen, whose inhabitants they help survive through harsh times in return for unquestioning obedience. They wield powerful magic, but one different from that of mages. They draw power from water and earth and are bound to the land in which they live. The Crones can hear everything that happens in their woods, predict the future, twist the threads of human lives, and bring blessings as well as curses. The Crones seem, for all intents and purposes, to be immortal. Magic elixirs keep them from aging and allow them to take the appearance of young women. These elixirs and their mystical ties to the swamps in which they live also give them supernatural strength and vitality. So a few things from that.
For the loyalty thing, there is a guy who's just like, oh yeah, like, you need to go talk to the women in the swamp, take this, and he just cuts his own ear off and gives it to you.
I forget what the title that he has is, but he's basically like the mayor, the elderman of the town.
If he cuts off his ear, he's gonna grow up to be one of those Leshy, the thing we talked about.
No, he cuts off the left ear, unfortunately, so idiot. That's the quest where you go and see like the spirit that's trapped under the tree, and you end up like sacrificing a horse for it, and it takes on the body of the horse or whatever, and like, because it tells you like, oh, they have children, I can free the children. And if you do that quest and you say, yeah, go free the children, they just disappear and you never find out what happens to them. So you don't know if this like ancient horror that was trapped under a tree, it's really like, you think you're trying to choose the lesser of two evils. You're like, is it these obviously evil witches or this like strange creature that I found bound to the bottom of like an elder tree, essentially?
I remember
it's like a fleshy heart.
I remember trusting it and like beating the shit out of fleshy heart underground.
That one to the point of they make it feel natural to choose the right path. Like, neither path is good, so I've done both, you know, and like both of them do end with like a, I don't know how that turned out, because again, like, is it better that these children are like enslaved to these witches and going to be probably turned into one of these elixirs? Because by the end of The Witcher 3, you do find out like, oh, they're like taking like the way they keep themselves young, because you see them when they're like young and hot and naked.
Yeah, the way that they keep
have a very hot.
Yeah, keep their joints young by taking children's feet and sewing them on backwards onto their.
Yeah.
They suck out the adrenochrome, dude. Don't let them fool you.
That's true.
They're having like basically like a very steamy like adrenochrome potluck in one of the Ciri quests where they're like putting like two fingers into each other's mouths covered in children's blood and shit, and like that's when Ciri tries to stop them.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Two fingers in each other's mouth.
Hey, one that was in the trailers, and they're great characters, but yeah, I remember that scene of just like, the are they related? Who cares? Like Pornhub top searches in certain provinces of Poland is probably incest. Like, who knows, dude?
So there's a few inspirations from which they the crones draw on. The main inspiration is one we've talked about before. We talked about earlier on this episode as well, Baba Yaga.
Oh, yeah.
There's a few other interesting ones, though, that we'll talk about first, which the crones also share some details. So the first one, and actually how that bestiary entry starts, which I omitted, comes from our boy Billy Shakes. So the bestiary entry starts, sister crones, hand in hand, terrors of the sea and land. Thus do go about, thrice to thine and thrice to mine and thrice again to make up nine.
It's from
which is, yeah, so it's attributed Macbeth with a V. Act 1, Scene 3, so that's the canonical Billy Shakes in the Witcher lore.
Yeah. Full of Macbeth vetches or whatever.
Bumback Macbeths.
Yeah,
oh my God. So from Spark Notes on the three witches in Macbeth, throughout the play, the witches referred to as the Weird Sisters by many of the characters lurk like dark thoughts and unconscious temptations to evil. In part, the mischief they cause stems from their supernatural powers, but mainly it is a result of their understanding of the weaknesses of their specific interlocutors. They play upon Macbeth's ambition like puppeteer.
In like Greek, yeah. In the whole Greek go to the underworld thing too. Isn't there like three sisters who clip people's life strings?
The Fates. The Fates, which we're going to talk about the Slavic Fates in a second. But like to your point, yes, Greek, Roman, Norse all have these like three sisters, like past, present, and future, who are deigned the Fates. And I mean, it's all like Western, like white, so it kind of makes sense. It probably all did originate from the Greek, right? But absolutely a common thread throughout. So the next runner up to Baba Yaga is the trio of these names I am going to mess up. Roshanitsi, Naraknitsi, and Sudzanitsi. They are invisible deities of fate in pre-Christian Slavic religion. These three often mentioned together, and they control fate.
Okay.
The goddesses, collectively called the Roshanitsi, look after pregnant women, and after they give birth, they basically determine the child's fate for the rest of its life. So as soon as you get knocked up, they'll show up and start like watching out for you to help you get through your pregnancy and make sure that you deliver the child so that they can kind of impose their will upon the child.
It's like the giver. Okay. You get you're assigned at birth. Here you go. Yeah, exactly. You're going to be a garbage man. You're going to be a blue-eyed guy who remembers everything for the rest of the world. Yeah.
Well, yeah, not blue eye to everybody else because they don't see color, right?
That's true. Yeah.
Read The Giver by Lois, by acclaimed Canadian young adult author Lois Lowry.
mandatory reading for most children growing up here.
It was a good book. I remember liking it. I like it. One of the ones that you liked from school, kind of thing.
Yeah, I reread it recently. I mean, my wife is a teacher of kids about that reading level, so she also read it because she was like, maybe I'll teach my kids.
I mean, Ethan, reading it, you didn't read it. Your wife read it to you. We know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I don't understand the difference, but sure. Never heard of ebooks, dude. Never heard of audible.com? Come on.
check out our link, audible.com/getmarried.
For our prime stuff, what if we just start reading entire books? How long do you think until someone came after us?
Until we get the cease and desist?
Oh, Christ, yeah. I mean, some of them are public domain. We could.
I think we're still way under people's radars.
Yeah.
All right. That's what we're on them.
Yeah, so we have the witches from Macbeth. We have the Fates, as Jamie pointed out. And finally, Baba Yaga. As I said, we kind of talked about her on a previous episode. I could not remember which episode we talked about her on. Pretty sure it was one of mine, but it was known for, I mean, she's probably one of the most widely acknowledged figures in like all mythology, like just the number of stories that she appears in. It's like crazy how often she, like, more than Zeus, you know what I mean?
There's a version of her in Witcher TV show season 2. There is like a house on feet.
Yeah. So we'll Yeah, so she's a supernatural being. She's said to fly around in a mortar. She wields a pestle, and she lives in a hut in the woods, which stands on chicken legs. In that hut on chicken legs, Baba Yaga is said to live with two or three sisters. Each of them also is known as Baba Yaga.
That's the prehistoric kind of the mobile home, my dude.
Flintstones mobile home. Yeah, it's a living. So yeah, the She lives with sisters, but they're all known as Baba Yaga, which is basically how the crones come across to me, where it's like they kind of speak as one in a lot of scenes.
Yeah, they have like a weird echoey voice that like you can't see any of their faces really, except for the wasp one. So like maybe they're speaking directly into your mind, because you also commune directly with like a painting of them when they're young and yeah. hot that also does the same thing.
Yeah, the first time you speak to them, you speak to them through the painting.
I was looking at the painting, actually. It's like, what does it look like when they were hot? And
James just typing in Witcher R34 while we're recording an episode.
Crones of Crookback Bog feet.
Just two chicken feet. Wow, that's strange. So fans of the show and Peter would be shouting that, oh yeah, they're also in the Witcher show. Or at least the hut is. So Volith Mare is the main antagonist in The Witcher Season 2.
Yeah.
From The Witcher Unlocked, the after show, which is available on Netflix, showrunner Lauren Schmidt-Hissrich reveals that they drew directly off Baba Yaga for the villain they were creating when they were creating Volith for the show. As far as the show's canon goes, about 1,200 years before the beginning of Season 1, Volith Mare is transported to the continent during the Conjunction of the Spheres. If you want to know more about the Conjunction of the Spheres, check out our previous Witcher episode that Peter hosted. Her power was so great that the first Witchers, humans subjected to magical mutations to help fight monsters, banded together to defeat her.
We're 1.5 million years away from another sun passing close enough through our solar system to fuck up all of our planets, by the way.
Hell yeah, dude. Can't wait for it.
That's our own conjunction of this, at least two spheres.
At least two spheres.
Yeah.
If it leaves some shorts behind, I'm okay with it.
As long as the kind who's going to swaddle me like Napoleon. And...
Yeah.
it makes sense that the most common figure in Slavic mythology spawns two separate, extremely powerful beings across two separate Witcher canons. Yeah. Right. And that's been the, first entry in the bestiary of The Witcher. I don't know if I'll do another Witcher episode specifically, but hope you guys enjoyed the show.
One other thing I wanted to mention about the crones is the bestiary in The Witcher 3 has like very specific categories, and then there's one category that's like relics or whatever.
Yeah.
which is the wacky shit that like they don't know what to write about, and the crones are named
protagonist or named antagonists fit into the relict category.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the crones are relics as well, which has a T. It's like relic with a T, right?
Yeah, relict.
Yeah.
Fiends, chorts, also relics. Oh no, they're fiends. I don't remember. I think they're relics, but
I want to play Witcher again. Just by, anytime we talk about it.
I just rebeat it because I have Jamie's Steam link that he so graciously gave to me, and it's a game that I don't really care about.
Dude, I just got busted.
Know, input lag or anything?
I just got busted because that was Bobby Ferry gave that to me, who listens to the show.
And what?
I gave it to Ethan because I wasn't using it as much. So Ethan's getting the full use. I didn't re-gift. This is all among friends here. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. All among the dandy three.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All four of us. So thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you like the show, consider leaving us a review. The 5 stars really helps, the thumbs up, the whatever it might be on your podcast app of choice, can really help other people find it. Likewise, share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with cousins, strangers on the street, anybody who you think might actually enjoy it. It's how we've grown so far. Yeah. And so amazingly,
I'm going to say it just say. this past week, we hit 1,000 downloads a day, which is a huge landmark for us. And I know I love when I go back and listen and I hear when we hit those landmarks, and this is like almost 5 years in, and it's just getting bigger and bigger. This year, we should hit as many downloads as we had in all previous years. So it's really
just keeps up.
Yeah.
Mad lads.
Keep doing what you're doing, listeners. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So thanks. Really, 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 really means the world to us. It's super cool to see the growth of the show, and we still enjoy doing it. So we're not planning on ending anytime soon, I don't think.
Yeah.
Pete, is there anything you wanted to plug?
At Lore Bros Podcast on Instagram, if you want to check out the title cards or say hello. Also, still on track. COVID is winding down, he said, before COVID ramped up in Quebec. So Montreal Comic Con, we are very likely going to be there. I will with my publisher, and then Ethan and Jamie get the default invite to everything I do with them. Montreal Comic Con, which I think is July 2022. I don't know the exact dates yet. It is March. But if you want to reach, we should be there. basically.
The dates are online. Yeah. Like, if you just Google Montreal Comic Con, it has the whole weekend that it's there. So.
Oh, yes. Good. Yeah, I wasn't told. It was just like Mike sent me a message on WhatsApp business, and he was just like, "Hey, can you have your comic done by July?" I was just like, "I mean, in theory, I'm shitty with my time, but I'll try."
Yeah, deadlines help, right?
Yeah, at least I have a point on the horizon, right?
Yeah, that means that Pete will design and draw an entire comic in June.
Yeah. It'll be ready
last
for
3 days of May.
Last 3 days of May and all of June.
Yeah. We all know. Okay, so he's in denial. Today he said that he can't buy Monster Hunter Rise because he has to finish the comic. But we all know by the time this releases on Wednesday that he'll have bought Monster Hunter
no,
Rise.
No. It is on sale until the 21st, and I must hashtag resist. Okay, I cannot fucking do it because it's like my work comes in big bursts, and I've had very good ones recently, right? I can't fuck that up. I can't cripple my productivity, guys. Yeah.
But he is downloading and installing Dark Souls 1 because he's going through withdrawal seeing Jamie play Elden Ring.
Just tell me a little bit about it. Like, I just want to hear about Elden Ring.
Drive it to me. Elden Ring's on that list with Monster Hunter Rise of like things that are gonna fuck my life up for the next just until July. Like that's it. And then I can like go full degen.
Yeah, buck wild. That's when after July, me and Pete will after Comic Con 2022, Pete and I will both buy Elden Ring. And I will stream it just so Sketchy Jesus can make fun of me.
I'll trio it with you guys. I'll play like the dumbest build and I won't help you at all. So I won't be like a handicap, but I'll be a jester there for you guys. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Jamie, anything you wanted to add or plug?
Just get in the Discord. The Discord's growing all the time. Someone joined just this week, and they're like, "Oh, I didn't expect like I'd get in here and I just get to talk to you guys." And like that's exactly what it is. If you want to talk to us, you can. If you just want to be involved in like the community, that's where all the memes get shared. That's where we have our like community nights from time to time. People ask for lore. And it's not only the paid folks who get to choose the lore. Sometimes I'll just choose whatever feels fun, and it could be one of you. So get in there. And also, if you are a paid folk, you get extra cool chat rooms where stuff goes down behind the scenes. We can't talk
stuff
about
goes later. Stuff goes down. Oh my God, such stuff.
Such
unbelievable stuff.
Yep.
Such and stuff.
Yeah, that's you'll get pinged about extra content and stuff. It's a good place to be. Just get in the Discord. It's in the links.
Yeah. In the description of this episode. And if it doesn't work, I don't know. Out of ideas.
You try.
Speaking of Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. If you guys want to support the show financially, like I said at the top of the show, we do have a new one. Nate, thank you. Yep. Means a lot. It means a lot that you guys are willing to put up cash for this otherwise free thing. But it really makes it all make sense for us that we don't actually spend money on the show anymore. So thank you. Thank you for that. Patreon.com/theloreboys. If you guys want to join, we have a couple different tiers with a couple different rewards. And if you guys don't trust Patreon, we do, of course, have Loreboys Prime. We've had it from day one. We are, you know, always working on finding ways of immortalizing our patrons, our Prime patrons, I should say, not our Patreon patrons, but our Prime patrons for Loreboys Prime. So, you know, people like Sketchy Jesus, you're making it into the Lore Boys canon bestiary as a sketch skeezed out Jesus based on very, very famous William Shakespeare character, King Richard, of course, is going to be the inspiration for Sketchy Jesus's entry into the bestiary. And if you guys want to be a part of it, feel free to hop on over to where Lore Boys Prime is distributed at a circuit city near you. And they'll take down your information in a little postcard, not prepaid postage. You guys do have to pay. So bring your stamps to Circuit City. And then you guys will be able to sign up for Loreboys Prime and get immortalized in our bestiary.
How big do we have to get in a bubble envelope?
Yeah.
I wonder if we're big enough for a P.O. box yet. That'd be fun to get stuff. If people would actually send it. If you're in the Discord and you would use a P.O. box, like let us know, because maybe it's worth looking into. I don't know what that costs.
We could stream an unboxing. I was like, what's a box opening video called? Did we just invent that?
I do feel like we could guilt Bison into sending us some Woodburn stuff at least.
But, oh hell yeah.
Yeah, we'll think about doing it someday. Maybe we'll start it just for the Lord Boys Prime listeners, but that'll happen next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Probably do that one. With like four or five horses.
One draft horse.
Oh yeah, if
there's strong men that can flip a Honda Civic.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's move our way up. Then F-150.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.